age 20, 25, and no, this is not it. This is when I had arrived and I could rub shoulders with my mentors. Yes, I moved from that. And then you saw the one with Temple University president. That's the name for vice chancellor in the US. The president decorating me with my master's degree. And I moved from that to my PhD. And from that, you saw my, I'd become fully pronounced as a professor delivering my inaugural lecture. And from that, that inaugural lecture was delivered when I was already a member of the Academy of Letters. That is where professors of standing and experience congregate. He kept doing it over and over. One comes and is positive and he will put it aside, sent to another one, positive, he will put it aside, as if it had no end, until I protested. And upon probing, we discovered a number of things. My papers were just being handled with the mind that I should never make progress. Then the worst was, now some team of professors went to University of Benin. I got to know this earlier. Of course, I don't probe into that. It's unethical. But I got to know this earlier. He went to University of Benin to tell whoever was assessing me there that he should fail me. And that didn't happen. That was how I got to know. And they came back to the university, told the chairman of council that I followed my paper. Me, if you know me, will you say me follow my paper to beg to pass? That's the last thing that can ever happen. But they hid it. If that really happened, I should have been.
Hello, good afternoon. Yes, you gave me your number that I should call to find out whether your new mammogram machine had been delivered. Have you gotten it now? Omen is my name. Okay. Okay, so I can check next week. That's all right. Thank you. Thank you.
Kaku.
Unfortunately, people had to pass through them. God will do for you what no man can do. And that's exactly what he did. Having become professor and become head of department, I had those challenges as a head of department. I had people who wanted to admit their relations unqualified. And when you look at it, they're unqualified, you become a problem to them. And so a number of people have called me wicked. If that is wickedness, so be it. But God knows that it's not wickedness. I was just keeping to the rules and making sure that there was justice everywhere. Now, still, I came back to this when I should be talking about what my colleagues should be doing now. That part of those who adopted English are members of this university's scholarly community. So there are a number of things that I should point towards what they should be doing and looking forward to their doing. English has been adopted, so it is not a foreign language in Nigeria. It's not. It is a second language. Whether you acquired five languages before you started speaking English, English is a second language. That is the sociolinguistic term, regardless of the order of acquisition by individual Nigerians. And this certainly means that this is the language that indigenous languages, the one you speak or the one you don't speak. And this is the language that is that functions as the official language of the nation. Does not refer to English alone. It is a functional sociolinguistic label applicable to any language, including Nigeria, over 500 Nigerian indigenous languages. I don't know whether you know, it's up to 500 indigenous languages. And then once there is a barrier between communicators, any language that you use to break that barrier is a lingua franca. And that is why Niger is a lingua franca. Okwane, which I speak, is a lingua franca. Urobo is lingua franca. So long as you are using it to bridge the communication gap, because the two people can't understand each other's language. Now, the Niger Delta polyglottal community, which includes this community of scholars that are located in Abraka, have to adopt English as one of the many languages. Not only has English influenced their lives, but it has also helped them to birth another language, I've said that before, which is Niger. I therefore suggest that this fertile research ground should be explored and by budding linguists in the study of Nigerian indigenous languages, but in the faculty, we know our sister department, linguistics. This is home where your research charity should begin. That, of course, includes this pidgin we are talking about. The initial insights for the pidgin have been provided by Elugbe and Omamo, eminent scholars. And Professor Mowarin here has done a lot about the grammars of the two languages, and so he holds a lot. And then I have combined a research with Moari too. You can develop on this and go on. It is a fundamental error to consider the label Niger as a variety of English, said that English language scholars need to investigate further the nature, the structure, growth, and status of English in these coastal speech communities with puzzling diglossic relationship between English and the Nigerian pidgin. These researches ought to include linguistic stylistic, because linguistics research is not complete until the use of language for literary creativity is accounted for. For my department, it should provide a bond between linguists and literary scholars and create harmony in the workplace. Psychocultural signals and sociopolitical events impact on the growth, nature, and status of English in these speech communities. It should be studied. At least the seven Nigerian languages, the seven Delta languages that are here, Igbo, Ika, Isoko, Ichakiri, Okwe, Okwane, Uwe, and Urobo. It should be, they are used along with English. And so the benefits should come from DELSI. You don't expect people who are far away to study these languages before you. Attitudinal changes towards the Nigerian languages vis-a-vis English language attitude, a need to re-examine and refocus. This is one of the outcomes of psychocultural and socio-political factors, including in influencing English. And it helps to keep track of the relevance and development of the language, including English. So these studies are needed if Nigerian indigenous languages must develop to share the dominant load of English. English is overburdened. The Nigerian languages have to be studied and it should come up and share this load. When that happens, then we can begin to say we are developing. Don't you know that the languages being developed is also part of our development that will help us to develop our nation? It should. I have to run fast. I just try to see what happened. There is this, when you talk about language acquisition, particularly for bilingual users of English, you discover that the way it was in our time and in some other time, you first of all learn the Nigerian language at home. Then when you got to school, you learned English. But over time, urbanization and inter-ethnic marriages and a number of other factors has resulted in children we refer to as RAB children. Rather than the symmetrical bilingualism we now have reverse asymmetrical bilinguals. So they learn English, they use English, they speak English before they speak their Nigerian language, if they do at all. Many of them don't after that. Do I have this on display about the recent August investigation I made? My class, my 400 level class. Are you there? You saw what you filled for me. I hope that is up there on the board. You can see the pie, you can see the table, and that is just the first. I will now compare that. I should compare that with your performance to come out with certain things about what I'm investigating. But you can see today, what the curiosity there is that whereas we're thinking that the RAB factor in Delta State University has become the norm, RAB children are now more than non-RAB. I discovered in this study of your class that non-RAB children are more than RAB children. A number of you spoke your Nigerian language before you spoke English. I was happy about that. I was happy about the outcome, but I need to investigate it more. Now, I should talk about my departure time and counseling. My first counseling goes to my dear students. I notice you don't read. Students of DELSU, you have to read. You have to read. The difference between and among students I taught 44 years ago, 34, 24, 14, 10 years ago, very remarkable. Most of the answer scripts I read today are enough to cause sleepless nights to a dedicated scholar. And if you think I'm exaggerating, I'm not. I actually finished marking at times. And my husband knows, at times I will say, you mean for all this labor, this is what I get? Does it mean these students don't even know anything I'm talking about? I'm wasting my time? The reason is, it's not because I wasted my time. The reason is that you didn't go back to read. DELSU, I thought we said you were great brains. Maintain it by reading so we can see it. Please study. Study and study to earn your degree. Stop depending on others to pass. Stop begging, stop bribing, stop blocking, or offering your pride to pass. We have fought against exam malpractice in order to secure and dignify your certificate. You should flee sexual harassment and dissimulation. Take advantage of this present administration's commitment. English and literary studies. I have so much. I have so much about this. Now, my department is actually a fraternal twin department. English linguistics is domiciled there, along with literary studies. And the whole idea that brought this is because we noticed that there was a great scarcity of language scholars. In fact, wherever you saw that, when I was trying to make a choice between language and literature, Professor Banjo told me, he said, Mabel, if you choose language, you will find that you will become very marketable. And by the way, we may not let you go from UI. And I was very lost, but he was conscious of the fact that I had a family in Abraka I needed to go back to. So we started this as we took off. English and literary studies, we made it very clear so that it would be an opportunity to produce language scholars. We tried as much as we could. And the program is such that everybody takes all the courses until the 400 level. At the 400 level, you buy for kids. You buy for kids, either you are doing language or you are going on to literature. And initially, it was through advice. We advise you if you can pass your courses in syntax, because students consider that syntax was the mathematics of English and they wouldn't go there at all. But if you're able to pass your courses in syntax, at least to the C level, then you can manage the technicalities of language. But what we saw after was the politics of the department, which now stopped doing this. As a result, what I have today is a very, very unusual situation where a number of students are just afraid to read the volumes in literature. And because they are lazy, they don't read. They want to stream to the language class. We've come for language. By the time they get there and find that the technicalities are too many, they wait for the usual, let my people go, asking to be upgraded up to this, up to that, so you can go. You can save yourself that trouble. Learn to read. And Mr. Vise, the unscholarly politics of my department has almost killed this dream. And the ratio of literary scholars to language scholars is two to one. And now as I leave, it's less. So what are we going to do? Balance up the ratio 1-to-1, since the distinction is not always clear to vice chancellors. When they just employ English. Now we are making the distinction clear again. Because when I was head of department, I insisted, and the vice chancellors, I explained to them, they understood. I insisted that language should have its own external examiner and literature should have its own external examiner. But the situation now is that we have one external examiner for two disciplines. It doesn't work that way. So we have to restore that. Reverting back to the practice of counseling students before choice. It's not just a question of going because the note is scanty. Ensuring that the two disciplines have their own external examiners at that and putting under check the politics of the department so that we don't turn that department into a department of cultural studies, introducing courses that are not particularly on how English is used for creativity in the arts. Ensure that our departmental programs are not dictated to us and handed down from the postgraduate school at the postgraduate level. I was shocked. Since I was part of standardization in NUC, to come back and see that things were done, the departmental heads are called up to the postgraduate school, not by this particular postgraduate dean, and then things are dictated and things are distorted. Those things have to be checked. Now, faculty of arts members need to be advised and encouraged to study the university law in order not to gamble with leadership. With leadership there's been a lot of gambles. The vice chancellors in time past had too much influence on who the dean is. It's immoral for a dean to just quickly assess a young oncoming associate professor and make the person, as soon as the person is made a professor, he covertly canvasses for the person to become a dean with senior people with experience. It's not right, because in my academy, there is a ban that is even placed. If you hold a two-term dean and you are not yet qualified by 5 years to be a member of that academy, of what use is that to the faculty? The faculty will not gain much. But what is there? The dean's responsibility, and I know all deans know this, Your only responsibility is not to assess people for promotion. But that is what the younger scholars say. They think you are just there to assess them. And the kind of respect they give to you today, when you stop being there, you will see that they will not give it to you. Their loyalty will diminish. It is to groom these people. Vice Chancellor and accreditation. The need for a check on the ongoing fraud in university. Accreditation. Vice Chancellors, there are people coming to me and saying of our professors because we want to do accreditation. It's fraud. Of course, I can never do such a thing. And we shouldn't be doing it. It's still the same scholars who go and pretend that they are members here, they are staff here and there. NUC should come out with the truth, do what they should do to equip the universities beyond what it is. And I think the committee of Vice Chancellor should not condone this anymore. They should just make sure that NUC does what it's supposed to do. Now I have a passionate plea to this sitting Vice Chancellor. My Vice Chancellor, well-beloved and admired. The Protestant chapel on campus needs to be built. The university has moved and it needs to move. This chapel provides spiritual care for staff and students. Members needs and have a right to spiritual care. When it appeared on the university master plan, the chapel had molded blocks, now used up. Society is changing. The Christian Association of Nigeria has 5 blocks, the Catholic 1 block, Protestant 4. And our Savior's Chapel provides worship and spiritual care for both Pentecostals, other Protestants, and evangelicals, including Anglicans and Baptists. One good thing, Mr. Vice Chancellor, you will do for us is to add to all the other good things you have graciously done and undertaken, for which we respect you, our comrade Vice Chancellor. The master plan of the university contains our Savior's Chapel. Please don't deny us this right. We need to move to that place. So those who are seeking power to be VCs, you see what this Vice Chancellor has put on ground. I beg you, don't come to scatter it. We are just beginning to build. Those seeking power, are you seeking tyrannical force, or you are seeking wisdom and uprightness to handle responsibility and develop this university? Learn from 2 women, Jezebel and Mrs. Donald Duke. For Jezebel, it was brute force. Are you not king? What are you talking about that you asked for something and the person denied you? For Mrs. Donald Duke, he says, this night we will go and you will apologize to that your subordinate. Please clap for Mrs. Duke. She saw that power is transient. Now, as to your responsibility, we fought this battle before we came to this. ASU has to save its members and at the same time save the system. If for any reason, and I pray not, you go on strike and the Vice Chancellor queries you, so how will comrade Vice Chancellor be querying? He's doing his job as Vice Chancellor. Help him by understanding the query, and don't also panic when you are queried. Until the mentality of our leaders change to accept that they are elected to serve Nigerians, they will continue along the Nard Ngige method. But don't break your resolve for a just cause. I'm sure the unions don't know that they can help a university to grow. In time past, we also had to pay. Younger academics need to know that the living wage we enjoy today, although this has been seriously devaluated, is because of our resolve, which compelled government, a government that proscribed our and they had to also honor that agreement. I recall packing my furniture and our things away from the house, and our children were wondering, where were we going to? And we said, Daddy and I chorus, destination unknown. And destination unknown, they were scared, but that was it. It was a tortoise journey through the forest, through the ticket, through pools of delta floods and oil spills, through oil pipeline labyrinths and mangrove swamps. Among gas flares of my enslaved people, we had to do that. The unilag experience, as you should learn from it. I always say, if it was the unilag experience, VC threatened, are you likely to support to save your university? Now, as my colleagues were retiring some time ago, this was something I presented to them. I just want to read some extract from it. I said, goodbye, teammates. That was my farewell address to my colleagues 11 years ago. Let me read some of it. There is time for everything, time for inauguration and time for valediction. So it is time for retirement and time indeed to bid these teammates goodbye. Retirement is also a time to begin to do and to think, time to create time for family. Some never had time for their family. If they retire, they should be creating it up to your grandchildren. Time to recognize that God owns time. And so you should give God time because you are now retiring. Now, know him and seek him closely with all reverence. The Bible is one good book you can begin to go back to read at retirement. Retirement is time to search and research as you seek answers to common questions you may not have created time to answer before now. Questions such as, what did I do well that I should keep doing and even improve upon? What could I have done better? What opportunities did I use? Abinda, whom did I hate? Whom did I hurt? What should I have done that I failed to do? And what should I have done that I did not? And I said goodbye to this teammate, and I signed off as the goalkeeper and the team captain. Now, my colleagues in English, your goalkeeper, your team captain is retiring. Mabel retires 29 days, deo volante. So now it's time. God comes first in all my life, and I enjoin you, my audience, to do the same. I cannot share my many testimony of God's goodness here because of time and conventional constraints. My special relationship with God has resulted in ample persecution within the university. Join my celebration on November 5th and hear my story. I leave having labored so much for 44 years with God's blessing all to my human institution. No comfort by humans, no comfort by institution. An unjust system, I must say it was, but Abraka was a good place for me. I was blessed in this place. I have to pay the price for saying the truth. I had to pay the price for justice. I've just paid it. I don't know who is ready to pay. Many people are not ready to pay, and they say, no, I don't want to do that. I have committed into the hands of God, and it is a pleasure to know that there is life after retirement. There's life after retirement from DELSU. But more importantly, there is life after death. Where will you spend that life that is endless? It's not retiring at 70. You won't even retire at eternity. You won't retire when you are a trillion years old because it is endless. It's timeless eternity. Where are you going to spend it? Have you given a thought to it? You can engage me on these issues later when we leave here. But now, I must acknowledge very briefly, Mr. Vice Chancellor, I know I'm taking quite some time. I should thank all my friends and my associates on venue and online audience for listening to this lecture. May God bless you and grant you journey mercies. I should acknowledge. How can I really thank God enough? Awesome God, I worship you. Voices of a million angels cannot express my gratitude to your divine majesty. I am grateful, Lord. I am indeed grateful for life, for peace, for joy, which many that have power and even rob people of power may not have. You formed me, nurtured me, and gave me the very best life in this Abraka spot of the earth. You chose for me 44 years. You graciously gave me opportunities and privileges more than most people had on earth. You use people such as those that I list below to fulfill your purpose. Hallowed be thy name. Mr. Vice Chancellor, sir, I should appreciate you. The way and manner you have restored confidence in the management of this university by bringing justice to the oppressed. How many unpromoted cases, how many promotion cases have you sorted? and you have put joy in their hearts. We rejoice with them because some of us know the history of this, haven't gone through it. This statement is a statement of fact. The Vice Chancellor knows that I'm not a sycophant. I don't flatter. So, VC, you know that. I'm just saying it just as it is. I believe that you know I'm capable of providing facts which you can use to work with. And I was pleased that you put me in your advisory team. I pray that you continue and consolidate your envisioned mission as God gives you great grace daily. I appreciate your kind gesture on that. I should appreciate equally. You're making out time to chair this occasion. You could have fixed another compulsory meeting for university workers to ensure that either the valedictory does not hold or it flops. It has been done in the past. So, but you chose otherwise. You said you will stay and make this valedictory a success. I thank you. I appreciate it. The underlisted, some of them are departed. First of all, Mama Princess Nkoba, my own mother, our matriarch, act bride of Ebinum. She traded in multiple ways and she sold her gold. She sold her coral beads to pay my school fees, fulfilling her commitment to her over 70 years vow to make something beautiful and remarkable out of her many daughters. She was there even during the trying days of ASU, when we don't have food. She would drive in with goat meat with a number of things to give us. Mama is gone. I can say again, Mama Migwo, Migwo, Migwo. Reverend Canon Dr. Okolugbo, my brother-in-law and my sister, they were there for us as they were in Abraka and we met them here. Reverend Barrister Ezekiel Omeni, gone to glory, my brother-in-law and confidant, giving the right counsel at the right time. The first head of department I reported to, Mr. Paul Ugoma, he gave the initial tutorials. I came speaking bombast English to people who did not understand, and he had to tone me down and taught me a number of things. Delsu first vice chancellor, Professor Frank Okoli. His watchword was excellence. And he took us through what it means to be administrators at that young level. My own friend and special dean of arts, Emeritus Professor Samuel Okala, just gone as I wrote this. God alone will bless and reward your children for generations. As I was about to drop this, he left to glory. God's instrument and favor in my life, living and blessed for your care at the right time. He sacrificed so much to ensure that justice was done to my promotion. Dr. Mrs. Dame Beatrice Omeni, my big sister, academic mentor, and now functionally she's my mom, one of Mama's Lawrence. She was the first SSG of Delta State. Right Honorable Chivela Dame and Dele, Right Honorable Dean Esther, PhD, Udwehi. Is he my brother-in-law? No, he's just like my own brother. So loving, caring, so endearing, and non-beating sister, as I always love. She doesn't beat me. My academic mentor, and one of Mama's Lawrence. My younger siblings, my special brother, my Isaac Ebinum, Patience Eboreme, Mama's Lawrence, always there loving me, my brother, praying, advising. My very special in-laws, especially appreciative, praying, advising. So enlightened a family I got married into, considering it mean to ever interfere. Rather, they bonded in friendship. That certainly helped to stabilize my home for successful academic pursuit. Delsu, former pro-chancellor and chairman of council. Justice Tabai, retired. He fascinated me in his humble and prompt manner of handling the injustice surrounding my promotion. And Delsu Vice Chancellor, who I mentioned earlier, for handling my promotion and seeing that justice was done. Emeritus Professor Ayobanjo, he actually started from Abraka. He came here in those days of the early independence when there was a teacher's college. It was that teacher's college that gradually moved some of us into a grade one teacher, then the College of Education, and then to Bensu Faculty of Arts before he turned to Delta State University. I went through most of those metamorphoses. That was from the College of Education days and you call me an Aboriginal of this place. Actually, one of the Uvies had offered me a chieftaincy title. I leave for him to judge, for Professor Banjo to judge whether he handed over well to me at Abraka, whether I ran swiftly enough, well enough, to in accordance with the rule to win a race and to develop and track the study and use the living language English. I should introduce his Abraka Academic grandchildren, Dr. Menogo, Dr. Medi, and Dr. Imama, who I also appreciate they're being there to take over. My UNILAG brother, Uyedeji Ulukoju, I appreciate you. Chancellor, Vice-Chancellor, and Council, those who suppressed my assessment because I attempted to influence it, they thought it was all over, but God prevailed. I had said that. I should then thank my colleagues for being part of the special training school. Abraka is a special training school. I wouldn't have gotten anywhere. Very special, a training school which is rare to come back. I'm grateful to my students, both past and present, for their appreciating my efforts, and to students of Delta State origin for giving me the award of the most outstanding female lecturer in Delta. My Christian family is very large. It is not possible to name all, so I apologize if I don't name you. But our Savior's Chapel is here, our Savior's Chapel, led by our chaplain, Reverend Dr. F.A.R. Ejobe. This man is a shepherd like our Master Jesus. My Baptist family, leadership in Delta, they are here, Reverend Gideon Oyibo, Reverend Dr. Gu is unavoidably absent, and the First Baptist Church Abraka leader. I appreciate the Christian Assembly for their long-standing love and care. Many thanks to Soul Sylvester's Church Warri under the leadership of Reverend Onofuro, for his prayers and partnership in ministry. NIFES National, NIFES building. Okay, NIFES National, National Director Rex Ono, and then others. I can mention my 10 special and one. Blessing Enamoto, the Amuros, Yogage Kekite, the Ujos, and now in Canada, I hear Mr. and Mrs. French, and former. Nigeria Christian Graduate Fellowship. My regards to engineer and Dr. James and Teresa Okoro. Now to my six most beloved. No, before then. I have an N girl cousin. N means Nigeria, interpreted, but that N is special to both of us. My N girl cousin, Professor Ebele Iguyenga, for her love, dignifying humility, and enlightened exemplary management of her husband's elevated sphere of influence. People don't know how to manage success. She knows how to manage success. And you tell her. Now, to my six most beloved home global mates and fellow travelers in my wilderness of bloom. Thank you, my five, Neye, Aluka, Fene, Soyem, and Sine, for your love, naughty, noisy homewarming and prayers. Fellow ministers of the, now to my best brother, my bishop, fellow minister of the gospel, my academic colleague, my principal, best of all, best world's husband. My loving Emmanuel, thank you among many others. Listen to this. We came here as a very, we wedded here. This man has not broken his wedding vow in a place workshop of multiple, a place of multiple times. I accomplished my mission here in Delta State University. I live joyfully, still living with the living language I now profess. I don't just profess English here in Abraka. I profess it globally. I should thank you all, my friends and associates on venue. I had said that before and online for being part of this. May God bless you and grant you journey mercies. I have my notes and references. Before I sit down, I have an appendix, which I will just mention. I have an appendix to this. And that is a modest donation I'm making to promote academic excellence and character building, integrity. Mebulo Sakwe ELS at the undergraduate level for overall best graduating student in English and literary studies has a token 10,000. Then ELS prize for best graduating in English language, 10,000. Integrity prize for best behaved student, 10,000. I mean, postgraduate category. Best MA English students, not less. The effective date will be the next convocation ceremony, in which case those who have defended their thesis by the 2019 are entitled to that. And I have the mind of sending this to management for safekeeping to be used later at the end of it, of this. Now, although it is such a token now, I pray, and please pray with me, and believe that it should appreciate to what the value of the Naira was very early in Abraka. In 1983, when I had to send some money to my husband, he was in the UK, we exchanged the Naira at $3.33. So for 10,000 Nigerian Naira, the value should be $33,000 and more. And this is possible soon if we take back our country from the devil. We have allowed the devil to take our country, and we want to take it back. The devil and his agents, if they give it back to us, and they don't give it back to you, why you just sit down? Please pray for this country, Niger, and make sure that we get this wake-up call to all Nigerians to arise and build the walls, the broken bodies of this nation, the head and the limbs, for the awaited shout. And the awaited shout, if you have my paper, there is rise, comatose giant of Africa, Nigeria, wake up.
Please, another standing ovation for our validatory lecturer. Thank you so much for that delivery. We call on the music department. They have a special number for our validatory lecturer. Music department, please, 5 minutes.
The Vice Chancellor, sir, distinguished ladies and gentlemen, our inaugural lecturer, Professor Mabel Osakwe, is a lover of music, and her favorite over the years has been Hallelujah Chorus, which she requested. The Department of Music will perform Hallelujah Chorus, composed by George Frederick Handel. And my Vice Chancellor, sir, the tradition has been since March 23, 1743, when George Frederick II, King George II of England, stood up when Hallelujah Chorus was first performed in honor to the Almighty God. When he heard the piece of music, he said, no, this is too much. This is great. Let's reverence God. He stood up and everybody in the congregation stood up. Since then, it has become a tradition that congregation stand up for Hallelujah Chorus in reverence to the Almighty God. I hereby request the congregation to please stand up for Hallelujah Chorus in reverence to God as Dr. Ofwani conducts the choir of the department.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh God of the omnipotent
reigner, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah. Forever and ever, forever and ever, forever
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Must close by 12.
May be seated. Thank you so much, music department. That was beautiful. Mr. Vice Chancellor, sir, permit me to invite you to present a tribute to the valedictory lecturer, Mr. Vice Chancellor, sir.
Before I read the tribute, on behalf of the university, I want to express our gratitude to our distinguished valedictory lecturer for the prizes she has instituted. We really appreciate this, and we call on other friends of the university, senior academics, to emulate her good example. Let me start by saying that on the 5th of November, 2021, Delta State University will say goodbye and thank you to a unique linguist, statistician, poet, pastor, cerebral academic, and one of the set of twins, Professor Mrs. Mabel Osakwe. She is one of the pioneers and major builders of this university. Yes, she has just given her testimonial and last formal lecture to the congregation of this university, specially constituted in her honor. Professor Mabel Osakwe is one of our very best and brightest. How many in this audience are still in the services of Delta State University and a PhD degree 30 years ago? The last time she addressed the university congregation was Thursday, 21st July 2011, in her inaugural lecture titled Tending, Bending, and Breaking Vagabond English for Global Needs. Today, as she retires from the Ivory Tower, she continues from where she stopped in her valedictory lecture titled I Live as We Live, with her adopted Living English, Manifesting Limitless Diatypes. It is very difficult, a very difficult task to adequately situate this enigma scholar by excellence. How do I objectively define Professor Mrs. Mabel Osakwe? Is it her scholarship, her activism, her controversies, her strong views, her mentorship, her battles, her eloquence, her frustrations, her leadership, or her victories and sometimes failures? Let me be personal to say that she's my in-law, and on a day like this, I should tread very carefully. I should tread very carefully and should ordinarily spin only kind words, because I do not want my lovely wife and homemaker traditionally recalled in the event that I resort to making very uncomplimentary remarks, even though in error. I therefore tread carefully, but as Vice Chancellor, I'm privileged to speak ex cathedra. Professor Mabel Osakwe is like the proverbial elephant among many curious blindfolded creatures, whose description of the elephant is only to the extent of the part of the body that they touch or feel. As diverse as their accounts were, they were all correct. For them, Her body was soft. It was also rough. It was pointed. It was also blunt. It was hard. It was soft. It was hairy. It was small, and it was also large. But professors are not blind. They are very circumspect, meticulous, historical, and dialectical. They are sometimes very brutally blunt. I took the unusual approach of requesting very frank testimonials and opinions of 12 senior professors of this university about our distinguished valedictory lecturer. I have their permission to reproduce their testimonials without acknowledging them. Professor Mrs. Osakwe, please enjoy or endure their comments as they come today. To our distinguished audience, please listen and learn. Professor Bebel Osakwe, a distinguished alumna of the University of Ibadan, is a dyed-in-the-wool intellectual. Her no-nonsense courage and disposition tend to clothe her in the garb of a haunted intellectual who only finds comfort in a world of her own on Mount Olympus, where she remains sometimes inaccessible to her colleagues and students. Yet, she is human, humane, mother, and wife, who is highly disciplined in her attitude to work. It is not surprising, therefore, that she has been involved in the struggles of ASU and was a worthy representative on AMP. She's always focused and with no room for frivolities. Professor Two, she's an intelligent academic, a lovely mother and housewife with strong personality. Her leadership and intellectual endowments have asserted on the flagship status of the Department of English and Literary Studies. She's firm and abhors injustice, particularly to the oppressed, but sometimes domineering and irritating to small minds. I believe she's a fulfilled person who has paid her dues in the services of Delta State University and humanity. Professor Three, Professor Mabel Osakwe is an intelligent and uncompromising academic and a perfectionist. However, she needs to be more humane and accommodating of other people's opinions. Accept that people respond differently. Have to have our way. Professor Four, an intelligent woman, a very good teacher, a disciplinarian whose mood swings between smiles and frowns. She has a deceptive top external appearance beneath which radiates so much love. Mabel is soft, but people see her as hard. She was met on ground on Creation Day of Delta State University in 1993. She's leaving behind a first very few pioneer crew. Above all, Mabel has complete control of her home. She and Ima were created for each other. What does the fifth professor say? In the early days of Delta State University, when strolling along the corridor of the Faculty of Arts in Site 2, you may be lucky to bump into a stern, mother-like looking lady, always elegantly dressed, neatly dressed like a secondary school teacher, an epitome of the campaign against indecent dressing. A disciplinarian to the core, Osakwe is a colleague you can't but notice in academic through intellectual gathering. Very forthright in her contributions, intelligent and fearless. Tells it as it is, whether in Senate, congregation, or ASU, you can't but notice her presence. Professor Six. Professor Mabel Osakwe is endowed with strong personality to the point of being too assertive or even domineering. She is diligent and committed to the ideals of academia. She ranks high in matters of principles, not for her the corrupt practices associated with some academics. She's a passionate teacher who plays by the rule. But there's an inherent contradiction in her. She has lamented acts of injustice against her by the system. But she has also done the same and has not been fair to some junior colleagues. She has, over the years, not been able to build a consensus among colleagues. But by and large, there is nobody without weakness. She has paid her dues as a teacher and scholar. This moment demands that we celebrate her in a loud manner. The seventh professor itemizes, I have 5 points to make about Professor Mabel Osakwe. She can be very unrelenting in fight for her rights if trampled upon. She extends the same zeal to fighting for justice, equity, and fair play for her people. She's a feminist. She's an outstanding scholar whose public lectures often attract accolades. No human being is without faults. Her major fault, from my point of view, is that she knows when to retreat and fight another day. The eighth professor, Professor Mabel Osakwe, is frank to a fault. This compels a misconception of her as a harsh, irrational academic. Although a bred scholar, a thoroughbred scholar, she's a stabilizing force in the faculty of arts, as she always spoke without being sentimental. Thus, being in her right books guaranteed one a very formidable ally. She would definitely be badly missed for her forthrightness and leadership qualities. Professor Nine, my interactions show that she's a highly experienced and effective teacher, excellent researcher, administrator, and community developer. She's highly disciplined, trustworthy, frank. She's a workaholic, intelligent, with good sense of humor. She's an erudite scholar. What does the 10th professor? I have a dozen testimonials from the best professors of this university. What does the 10th professor say? Professor Mrs. Mabel Osakwe is a dependable sister and a friend. She's creatively resourceful, intelligent, and outspoken. She's caring, prudent, and loving and supportive. More importantly, she's a Bible-believing practicing Christian. She hates mediocrity, injustice, and oppression. However, she needs to work on her elastic capacity to accept criticisms and appreciate contrary views and opinions. Professor 11, Professor Mr. Osakwe has been in the habit of providing leadership and mentoring staff and students. She has never exhibited any fear in commenting on unpleasant issues concerning any staff or students, particularly postgraduate students, during statutory meetings. Even when it became necessary to put such opinions in writing, she made sure she did just that. She's a very sincere person. Her opinions are usually taken seriously with no fear or worries. And there are no denials about her stand. Academically, Professor Mrs. Mabel Osakwe is endowed with so much respected for her commitment to service and justice. Although some people regard her as somewhat difficult to please, but I believe this is due to her innate character that demands very high normal standards. The highlight of all 12 grand testimonials by the cream of academics of Delta State University is a tribute to her intelligence and a salute to her dogged, firm, and uncompromising stance on cherished principles of justice and integrity. The consensus is that Professor Sakwe is a very strict individual, a behavioral trait that is in fact a virtue. She cannot be compromised by the law of power and position, but like all mortals, she had a we are just doing an ordinary celebration. Professors continue and even stronger on retirement. Her work will continue to water the thirst of anxious students who want to learn. And I'm sure, I don't know if she has been in OBR of Abraka for almost 50 years. I don't think this is the time for her to leave.
The procession will be in reverse order to be led by the Vice Chancellor. Please be upstanding. Thank you very much.
How you there? Yeah. Sister Helen. I'm seeing you. Sister Helen and Sister Abba, how are you doing?